little bit in the dead period right now in the football world. We have basically just transfers to talk about. Preseasons are getting underway after the tournaments now are over. Copa de America is wrapped up. Argentina are your champions. The European Championship also wrapped up on the same day. Spain, when they're record fourth, they break the tie that they have with Germany, their fourth European Championship, and a little bit ahead of schedule. So this Spain side is going to be pretty tough to deal with for years to come, as long as they can, of course, stay healthy and as long as they can keep their chemistry together and the tactics don't go to complete trash. But yeah, so Nick, we have to wrap up those two finals, just a nice bow on them. You know, not that we don't have to go too in depth with them. We did the previews for them, and we both, you picked Spain, I picked England, and we both picked Colombia. So we got them all wrong, except you got Spain right. But I think it was just based on form with Argentina. We just weren't really blown away. Colombia had the harder path.
Yeah.
But Argentina digs deep, and they get the W in the final. And then Spain really, they had a tough path. And of course, England just did everything they could to lose. And in spite of trying to lose, they still drew even with Spain. And it was finally in the 86th minute that they killed off the English, the Three Lions, with a go-ahead goal to put the Spanish up 2-1. No Bellingham magic this time. And as we said, you know, the magic's going to run out when you least need it to run out. No Bellingham magic, no Saka magic, no magic of any kind. Just bad Southgate tactics, bad Southgate substitutions. Harry Kane is a detriment and a cancer to the national team. He may be some kind of goal-scoring legend, but he is allergic to trophies. I don't think he even know. I don't even think he uses silverware in his house. He probably just uses plastic forks and plates.
Yeah, you can't.
Silverware is something that is toxic to Harry Kane's health and development and well-being, and I think that he's a better human being for eating off of paper mate plastic or paper plates. And he is a guy that, I mean, he is a true Charles Barkley. He is a guy that will score a lot of points. He'll score goals. He'll get you rebounds. He will get you assists. He'll block some shots. He'll do it all. But he will never, ever, ever win a ring. He will never, ever, ever hoist a trophy. And he cannot win. I mean, is it to say at the least that Bayern dominated for 12 years and then they signed that he's their record transfer, the record transfer for Bayern Munich. And he comes in immediately. They finish in third place. Not in second. They finish in third. They're no trophies. Yeah. Nothing. He scores 36 goals. You could say, well, look at him. He's picked up right where Lewandowski left off. He's amazing. Like, he never scores the goals when you need him the most. And he's the guy that will score five against Darmstadt, and in the Champions League against Real Madrid, he'll come up empty. And that's the story of Harry Kane. We'll talk a little bit about him, but what have you been doing since the layoff? I mean, I know you got to be following these transfers. There are a few. We got breaking news that just came in. Liverpool, again, coming up short. They are cheap. They are lazy. They are directionless. And Arsenal steals another player that Liverpool wanted. Real Madrid has done it many times in the past. Tchouameni, Casado was stolen by Chelsea. Jude Bellingham was stolen by Real Madrid. The list goes on and on and on of players that Liverpool would so love to have in their war chest, but they are just a little too cheap and a little too late to the game to actually spend the money it takes to win. So if Arne Slot wants to run it back one more time with the same old, decrepit, and injured, and clueless, and just a bunch of players that probably need to see their way out of Anfield, they are going to have a very rough season, I feel like, ahead of them. United making moves, Arsenal making splashes. City really doesn't need to. City has more garbage on their bench that are world class than any other team. I mean, City literally doesn't need to make any transfers. If you don't see their name on the transfer sheet, then, you know, you don't really need to worry. They have $100 million players sitting on the bench. So Inter Milan, though, very impressed with their summer so far. They got Martinez, their man, in goal. And that's I mean, they went from Jan Sommer to Martinez. They got the Iranian striker. What is his name?
Tarami. Yeah.
Tarami. He's going to be pairing up with the best striker in the world right now, the GOAT himself, Mr. Copa America, Mr. 1-0, Mr. I will get it done for you, Lautaro Martinez. Me, I tell you what a fantastic fucking player. just in every way. Love him. He is a god. He's a football god right now, wearing those striped shirts, whether it's the blue and the black, the Nerazzurri, or whether it's the blue and the white for Argentina. He just wins, Nick. He gets stuff done. He's double goaded. You said we couldn't goad him twice. Well, I'm going to goad him twice. He's double goaded. He wins the Scudetto. He wins the Copa America. He won the World Cup. Can this guy go, how many goats does he have in his pasture? How much goat milk is this guy making?
Yeah, man. Lautaro's that guy. You got to say he's now taken over the Argentinian team, even though he doesn't start 100% of the time. He always comes in and makes a difference. And when he does start, he makes the difference there also.
Yeah.
Definitely a great player. I've been keeping up with a lot, man. Champions League qualification's been going on. We also have a lot of the leagues kicked off in Poland and Romania.
Yeah, it's all coming back.
Yeah, everything's slowly coming back. When that stuff kicks off, Serbia, Czech Republic, when all that stuff kicks off, then you know the season's right around the corner. And all that stuff is starting to kick back off, man. So, yeah, keeping up with that. Calafari, 40 million plus five. Ricardo Calafari from Bologna.
Yep.
It's been approved by the board 45 minutes ago.
Yep.
He is going. So that is a great deal for Arsenal when you're not searching for a British passport. That's how cheap you can get great players.
Yes.
Bologna is going to be a repeat of Union Berlin. I hate to say in Champions League, it's going to be really nasty. Same with Stuttgart.
Yeah,
these teams just get rid of everyone who gets them there. And hell, they don't even have their manager. He went to Juventus. So Bologna's in real big trouble, man.
Hey, and Serge Gerasi, just a beautiful pickup for Borussia Dortmund. They unfortunately lost out on the Sancho sweepstakes because they too, like Liverpool, suffer from, we have a lot of money, but we want to be cheap. So cheapness gets you no trophies. Cheapness gets you to a final, but you will definitely lose that final. Cheapness gets people disinterested in your product. Cheapness gets you managers that you don't really want, but you have to take because you do need a manager at the end of the day. So you'll just take whatever you can get. We have two clubs, Borussia Dortmund, that are flying, rolling in the cash. Liverpool was just announced as the most watched club in the entire world on this planet Earth. No team was seen and watched on television or streaming services more last year than Liverpool Football Club, but they have no fucking money. None.
Yeah.
They're broke. They're fucking broke. Yep. They won't spend. They won't. It's all about talent development. Let's get guy for $8 million. And it's like, you know, they're going to understand how much of a godsend Jurgen Klopp was, that he could turn chicken shit to chicken salad. He gets Robertson on a whole city relegated side for $8 million and transforms him into basically a $50, $60 million defender. And like, oh, you can do that with everyone. No, that's a diamond in the rough. That doesn't happen with every player.
Yeah.
And unless Arne Slot is the goddamn best talent developer this side of the Mississippi, then it's going to be a very, very long season for Liverpool, because this squad is now a year older. They're exhausted. They have less depth in the squad than they've had in years. Diaz wants out. He wants to go to Barca. And I say, look, I don't know how you feel about this, but it's the Coutinho effect. If you tell me on the airplane, like he did with Klopp, if you tell me on the airplane, look, Gaffer, I want to go to Barca, I don't want you anymore. If you don't want to play, if you don't want to die on the pitch for that Liverbird, if you don't want to do that, then get the hell out of my club. I'll sell you. I'll sell you for $130. Diaz can then learn the lesson of Coutinho that your career will become the master of irrelevancy. You go to Barca, you'll flop, you'll get loaned out to Bayern. You'll go back to Barca. They try to sell you back to Liverpool. Liverpool says, no, once you left here, you're garbage to us. You know, you turn your back on the club. Hey, you know, we'll give you a discount. We don't want him. We don't want a discount. And then you end up in Qatar in the Middle East where no one even remembers who the hell you are. If it weren't for Critty wearing Coutinho shirts around that I had made 4 or 5 years ago when he was still with the club, this guy would be the definition of irrelevant. I'm keeping him alive. Coutinho's alive in Park Circle because of me and me and only.
Well, I watch Coutinho at Al Duhail. I watch him with Olunga, the Kenya god, and it's pretty exciting to watch him, man. I mean, his level of play has dropped, but watching the Qatar League isn't. I don't think any American, besides a couple people, actually watch it. So yes, you are keeping Coutinho's name alive. watching him play with, I'm telling you, man, I watched Olunga play in J2, the J League, the second division, and the guy had a goal and a half like every single game. He had like 40, 45 goals for 22 matches. Like, it was insane.
Yeah.
He got bought by a Qatar team, and then Coutinho follows him over there, and then they're tearing it up in the Stars League is what they call it. But all it is a league just like Saudi and just like any other league where all the old the people who can't cut it at Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Liverpool, they all go over there and score goals. But no one cares, man. They're playing in front of 100 people all, you know, riding camels to the games. It's ridiculous. So, yes, in fact, they are dead. I mean, no one's keeping up with it. I mean, it's funny. I forgot he was even playing for Al Duhail. So I agree with you, man. He's dead. Dead food, as we say, man, as Oozing says, he's long gone and long forgotten, man. If Diaz wants to go, I would get rid of him, man.
For sure. And so, but before we dive into this, because there's some more transfers too, some great ones like Mats Wiefer. You know, he left Feyenoord. That's one of Slot's players. $30 million transfer to Brighton. You know, Liverpool is not set in their midfield. I mean, just, you know, I keep picking them out because they're really, now that Arsenal's off the board and they have their first guy, and Arsenal were, let's be honest, they were a better, they, Klopp kept Liverpool par or ahead of Arsenal for most of the season because he's Jurgen Klopp. And then it settled in that yes, despite Arteta not quite being as good as Jurgen Klopp managerially, Arsenal had a better team than Liverpool last year. They just did. Yep. Period. They did. And they showed in the end because they finished above Liverpool. They played for the title until the very last day, and Liverpool were playing for nothing except a Klopp send-off. So, you know, when you're in that position where you're like, hey, we do need reinforcements, but we're not going to do fuck all to address that. That's why I'm picking on Liverpool. Also, they just so happen to be my club. So, but I am not one of these sheep that follows blindly. You know, we get, you know, Marius Wolf from Dortmund for $2 million, and I think that's the greatest transfer ever. No, it's a dog shit transfer. Thankfully, that's a fictional transfer. But let's wrap up these two finals real quick, Nick. We just have to put a nice bow tie on it, or bow tie. We're not dressing it to go to a soiree. I put a bow on it. I mean, you know, for somebody's present, you know. So
yeah.
Real quick, man. I don't know. England, Spain, pretty good final. I thought overall, it was honestly just all Spain, really. Possession first half, 70-75%. I think England dipped into the upper 20s of possession. They had no interest whatsoever. They were the most anti-football team you've ever seen. And I know you agree with me, man. I'm not, it tears your heart apart to see all that talent just do nothing. No imagination, no creativity, no going forward, no shots on goal, no attempts, no nothing. It's just all like absorb, counter, and try and get something one-on-one, be the keeper. And that's just such gutless, spineless football. And Spain tried to go forward. They tried to break the English down. I mean, look, England still has great names on the back of the kits in their defense too. You're not just going to waltz in there and break down that side. But it's honestly a fitting end, though, because if Southgate had won that tournament as pathetically bad as he is, it would have just been a disservice to football. So Spain sort of like justifiably won because they may not be the better side on paper, but they played so much better. They had a better manager. They had better tactics, better philosophy, and a better execution. I mean, so that's my take on it. What's your take real quick, just putting this to rest?
Yeah, football won. That's what the headlines were.
Yeah.
Football won that title. If Southgate would have pulled that off somehow, it just would have been a travesty to the game. The guy has no tactics. He is terrible at what he does. Decision making's bad. I mean, Cole Palmer's individual talent got that goal. I mean, he got a goal from outside the box. The keeper just couldn't get to it, and that was all individual talent. There was nothing leading up to that. There was no tactical play.
Let's be honest with it, because Cole Palmer's a stud, dude. That's absolutely why.
Yeah, and he would only play. He averaged like 15 minutes for the Euros
such,
a game.
Such a travesty. That's a that right there is a crime.
Yes, a crime in itself. And as he should have done, he stepped down 2 days later. So, yeah, man, it's good things to come for England. The match was definitely a good first half. You knew what was going to happen in about the 48th, 50th minute, I think it was. Spain got their first goal. Cole Palmer, like we said, tied it in like the 78th or something. And then Spain just finished them off in the 85th. I mean, football won. There's not really much to say. I just – Jude was upset. You know, the 18-year-olds patting the veterans on their back. They're probably thinking in their head, who the hell is this kid? Like, it's kind of, it's like Jude's PR team is just incredible, man. They've built him to be this big captain and big leader, but really he's just a kid, man. And England really needs to get their shit together and get this figured out, because if I'm someone like Kane or even Phil Foden, even though he's not that old, Jude's the new guy on the block. Who are you to be telling us what's going on and patting me on the back, brother? Like, you need to calm down and recognize where you're at. This is your first big Euro. Like, let's get this all figured out and together. They need to get their leadership right. They need to get everything set up better, because Jude's PR team has him as the captain and the leader, and I just don't know if he's capable of that quite yet. Being 18 and the leader of an England squad like this, you have so many other people with so much more experience and more talent and everything, man. I think they got a lot to figure out. Hopefully this manager that comes can figure it out. I think Potter's one of the favorites. Pochettino's been talked about. Even their under 21 guy might come up like they did with Southgate. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But
the final was good, man. I was happy.
Yeah. And you know, I got to say that the best team won, because Spain had a pretty brutal path to get there. So, you know, if you're a team that has to overcome a lot of adversity and a lot of other great talent, Germany, France, Italy, and you do so and you look good doing so, then you're the deserved chance. Spain won that, man. Like, they really did. They came in as probably under the radar. I don't think anybody had them winning. And, you know, group stage comes and they get the 9 points. I mean, they went 7-0-0. They didn't lose a single game. They didn't draw a single game. They were perfect. 21 points out of 21. If you're doing point system, you know, it just doesn't get much more impressive than that. So it reminds me a little bit of, like, and I you know, just bear with me. It reminds me a little bit about the South Carolina Lady Gamecocks this past year, where they weren't expected to do anything, and then they end up going undefeated and winning a national title. And the reason I say that is because I just read an article. I bought the latest copy of Slam Magazine, and Dawn Staley was on the front, and I read about that. It's like, you know, you start buying in the Kool-Aid. So I'm making a comparison to the fact that the team that was the dream team that they had last year, they came up short in the Final Four. Spain had all these stars. And after 2012, you know, everybody said they're just gonna run it back in 2014. They're gonna run it back in 2016. And Casillas and Busquets and Iniesta, they all got old, you know.
Yeah.
And this is so where no one expected anything out of the Gamecocks this past year. They go undefeated, win a national title. Well, no one had Spain on the radar either. And they won going. I mean, they were perfect. They were absolutely perfect in this European Championship. And that's my comparison. That's why in I draw that comparison, because it's a very similar, two different sports, but very similar in terms of, like, this is where things started. No one had expectations of you, and then when it's all over with, you're like, damn, that was a really good team.
Yeah, man. I mean, you make sure I know what's going on with the Lady Gamecocks. So,
well, it's all South Carolina has, dude. So please, you know, like, I'm sorry. Like, if you can't blame me for that. When the egg ball team sucks, and the men's basketball team sucks, and the baseball team is now, which was world power. Yeah. Now they're mediocre. So yeah, but you got to give me that.
Yeah, like, no, I listen, man. I listen. I just be quiet, nod my head, and say congratulations, and we move forward, man.
But it's an honest comparison, though. Like I said, in terms of, like, the expectation, like yeah, how they both started and how they both ended, and when you look at Spain's accomplishment, you look at their accomplishment in the women's March Madness, you're like, damn, nobody saw that freight train coming, but it came and it steamrolled everybody.
Yeah. I feel like aren't the Lady Gamecocks, though, usually supposed to win it? Like, aren't they?
I mean, they're not win it every year, but they're a contender every year. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Well,
Spain's
always going to be a dark horse at the very worst.
Yeah. Well, that'll change now. Now they'll be in the top three or four every time, at least until these young kids, Pedri and Yamal, until they're older, because all you got to do is surround them with decent people, get Murata out, and get a new striker up there, someone who—the Orbisol, the guy from Sociedad, he's pretty good. I mean, I think he scored the winner.
Yamal could play in, like, six World Cups, man.
Yeah, no, like, literally. He's that young. Dude, he just turned 17. If you do the math.
That's 33 years old. That's 33 years old in 16 years. That would be six European championships, but— If he did the World, he would only be 35 if he played in six World Cups. Because
that is crazy.
He'll be 19. He'll be a whopping 19 in 2026. World Cup is every 6 years.
Four.
I'm sorry. Every God, what did I just say that? Every four yeah, years. So that's 20. So five is 20 years.
Yeah.
So if you count that one and then five more, so 20, he would be 39 is how old he would be, played six, 39. Which, look, Lothar Matthäus played five World Cups for Germany. He was 38, 39 when that happened.
Yeah.
Messi's got to be getting close to that number. If not, I mean, he's already played in five, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was his fifth. He'll play. We'll at least see him in five, like, for sure.
So if he's there in 2 years, he has six, and there's no reason whatsoever that if – well, actually, there's a lot of reasons, but let's just say Yamal doesn't suffer a devastating knee injury or something like that. He takes care of himself, and he keeps off the injury bug. If he is as good as we think he is, and he's going to get better, then he could be one of those guys that, like, is just around for two decades.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll be seeing him for a long time, dude. And he's good, man. He scored goals. He assisted. The guy is making a difference, man. He's something to look out for. And only being 17, it's freaking crazy. I mean, I bring it up all the time. I was hiding in tree houses when I was 17. This guy is freaking scoring goals in Euros, bro. I mean, the comparisons are insane.
Yeah, it is. And another thing is that he looks composed out there. He is not a 16-year-old, 17-year-old. He looks like he's already a 10-year veteran. That's what's so damn impressive about the kid, is that he doesn't need to be coddled, man.
Yeah, no, not at all. And it's crazy because how much – I wonder what he could be sold for. Like,
probably $500 million. I'm just kidding. No, bro, but $250 every bit of.
Because think about you're getting –
I got people walking by.
Oh, of course.
Because I'm outside. So people see the kit. They see, like, I'm just getting.
It's crazy. They only have his market value at $82 million, but he could be sold for double that almost.
Oh, that's a trash number. That's so much higher than that. It's so much.
82 well, is a
whatever. You know, we've talked about this too, Nick, is that you can put a book value on someone, but the price is whatever the highest bidder is willing to pay.
Exactly, which would be double that.
Yeah. Oh, they could easily, at 17, coming off of the Barcelona season he had, and coming off of a European championship where Spain went undefeated and he was a focal point, that's $200 million right there. You can't tell me otherwise.
Yeah,
I agree. $200 million right now.
Chelsea, City, Real, somebody would do it. Well, Barca wouldn't do it to Real, but you know
Todd Boehly would have to really cheat to do it, because he's already so stretched thin there. He's on there. Oh, like, he'd have to give some of that prostitute money up, man. I don't know. Yep. There's a guy walking that looks like a really fat Brock Lesnar, like a really obese Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar already looks kind of, Brock Lesnar's crazy big,
but yeah, you know, like, he's got that little, like, top head ponytail now, like the,
yes. Oh yeah. Yeah,
guy,
yeah.
Oh man, you should see this guy. I mean, I didn't mean,
like the
this
old
is what I get for sitting outside of Park Circle. I mean, he's going in the bearded axe. This is appropriate. This is completely appropriate. He's going to go fucking throw some axes and kill somebody.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, Yamal would be 200. for sure. And if he comes out next year, plays another great season, features again for the Spanish national team, we're looking at 250 at least. He could easily break the Neymar transfer record value.
Yeah. Oh, for sure, dude. I mean, I would love to have him. Any club would love to have that kid.
But we know that there's only a few that can afford him, Nick. That's the thing we didn't mention, is the fact that, I'm sure that Bayern would love to have him, but they can't. They will not pay that wage bill.
Oh, God, no. Hell no. Yeah, nobody's going to pay it. He'll be at Barca for a while. Until they need to get some money recouped, they won't get rid of him.
Well, the thing is, he'll be at Barca until he says, hey, I want him. I want 750,000 a week.
Yeah.
So if Mo Salah makes 400 grand and I'm way better than him and 2 decades younger, then you need to give me double what he's making. And Barca's like, look, dude, we're 1.3 billion in debt. We can't do that. He's like, well, then I think you need to know. You need to sell me then.
Yeah.
So that's what it's going to be. When Barca can't afford his wage bill, they will be forced to sell because he will tell them that I'm out of here. Well, or you lose me on a free. It's your choice. You can either get something for me, which would be a lot. They need to pay off debt. Or if Yamal leaves on a free, it would be the greatest heist in football history.
Oh, big time. His contract's until 2026. So
they got time. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, my God. 2026? They got two more years.
Next year, they got to get rid of him next year or he'll leave on a free.
Yeah. They'll get rid of him next year. And see, the thing is, they're not. Here's the thing, though, Nick. This is the one time when Real Madrid is not in the mix.
Yeah.
They can't, because Barca over their dead bodies will sell him to Real Madrid.
Oh, my God, dude. Could you imagine?
They won't. They won't. That's not even – so you're looking at City or – that's why like if Mbappe was playing for Barca, he would have gone to PSG too instead of – like he was at Monaco, of course. But like they are not going to sell their prized possessions to Real Madrid, their most hated rivals. That's not only that's not only a football rivalry. That is a political rivalry.
Oh, big time. Yeah, that's life or death right there.
Yeah, Catalonia, the Basque region, they literally legit hate each other.
Yes.
So Real Madrid will not sniff Yamal. They will not.
No. Barcelona would be crazy to do that. There's no way.
Their fans would burn down the Camp Nou. They would burn it down. Yeah. It's either City, PSG, or if Todd Boehly offloads some of the hooker money, he could maybe get that to swing. But Chelsea, I mean, I guess United cooks their books too, so the Glazers are like, fuck it, we're millions and millions in debt too. They could probably swing it if they sold, but they bought so many bad players with Antony and I mean, that's just 90 million. You just put 90 million in a furnace and set it on fire and watched it burn.
They've definitely wasted plenty. You're right, though. Only a handful. You can put it on one hand how many clubs could actually end up with the guy. And that's it, man. No one else.
I think it's going to be exciting to follow where he goes, though, man. It's going to be really exciting to follow what he does, because he's basically one of the very few shining bright lights that Barca has. I mean, Lewandowski's cooked. He's done. You have just an aging squad, and you have a lot of young talent. There's no in between. You see what I'm saying? Like if you're good, they have to sell you because you need to pay off debt.
Yeah.
But he's so young, you'd be just stupid to sell him on the one hand. But on the other hand,
how can you afford him?
How can you afford him? But then there's the other thing. The other thing we're not mentioning is Barca needs Champions League, dude. They have to get top four in Spain. Like, no questions asked. And they flirted with not getting it last year at some points. They were they got in, but
it could have been bad. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to contend for the La Liga, the La Liga title. They're not going to. So it's top four. Top four is that's, they got to at least bare minimum get that. So Yamal, that hurts, you know?
Everyone's already talking about La Liga being finished. I mean, Real Madrid, how do you compete with that lineup? So I'm already seeing La Liga season previews, and they're already not even talking about the title winner, because guess who's going to win the title? Real Madrid. So they're already just trying to figure out who's going to get the next three spots. So
yeah, I agree with that. I mean, we'll talk about it we'll do our season previews for the top five leagues. Of course, I can't wait for that to actually happen, because that's going to be the most that we talk about some leagues, man. It really is. It's sad to say, but for Spain might be one of them. You know, we might come and check in and say, look, Atletico Madrid's third, Barca's in fifth. They're trying to stay up. Girona is cheating like hell, but they're in second. You know, but if Real Madrid's 15 points out by Christmas, we're wasting our time. That's not interesting. That's that, you know, we'll talk about them in Champions League, but other than that, we're not going to make a peep out of them. So some of these league previews that we do is going to be the most attention that some of these leagues get from us, because we're all about in the now. We live in the moment. We're not going to sit there and talk about stuff that is completely irrelevant. And if Real Madrid is eating Thanksgiving turkey with a 15-point lead in La Liga, it's toasted, man. It's done. Forget it.
Yeah.
That doesn't hold my interest.
No, we're not in the business of wasting breath. If there's nothing to talk about, we move on. That's not
right. Speaking of which, let's do this other final real quick, and then we can get to transfers. Colombia and Argentina. So Colombia's 2.5-year win streak, man, 29 or 30 matches unbeaten. Not win streak, undefeated streak. Sorry. They it comes to an end. The last team to beat them was Argentina, 3-2. And then the team that broke the streak was Argentina, 1-0 in the final. Lautaro Martinez comes on as a substitute for Alvarez later in the game, scores the winner, and the rest is history. He wins the golden boot. I don't know of anyone who is having a better 2024 than Lautaro Martinez, but what do you think?
Yeah, man, it was started out with controversy. The final, they were all sneaking through vents. They were trying to break in the game because tickets were $2,000 or $3,000 a piece. It was a travesty.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, fans said, "Screw this!" In Miami, we're breaking in. They were caught sneaking through air vents, and it started an hour and a half late. I took a nap. I had a headache. I woke up. It was only halftime at 10:45 Eastern time. I was like, "What in the hell?" And sure enough, it was delayed almost by 2 hours. And it went 0-0, and then sure enough, in 110th, 112th, Lautaro had a breakaway one-on-one with the keeper. Defender was on his left side about 2 feet behind him, and the keeper couldn't stop it. Lautaro goal, that was it. Messi's ankle was like a balloon. He was taken off after halftime because he had screwed his ankle up, and we talked about it. He tried to play on it. Once halftime hit, he stopped. It got fat, the pain started, and it was over with. He had to be taken off. He was caught crying. It wasn't a Ronaldo cry because of sadness. It was a cry because he knew his team was going to back him up. Lautaro was there to finish it off, and the tears were tears of happiness, not tears of sadness like Pinaldo. And, Argentina finish it off, man. It was kind of a toss-up. I don't care what anyone tells me. The odds said that. Colombia just couldn't capitalize on any chances. They did have a couple. And, Argentina just pulled it off. On form alone, I still would take Colombia. But, Argentina did it, man.
I'm so happy for Lautaro Martinez. I've followed his career from the day he signed with Inter, from the day he signed with them. And he came to a side that was kind of on the cusp of doing things. They were just now getting past that really, really bad rebuild period. He came on the squad when he still had his Argentine big bro, Mario Icardi, on the roster.
Yeah.
And I've seen him develop into this megastar.
Yeah.
And now it's all come to fruition, man. He's got two Scudetti to his name now, the latest one this past season, the 20th for the club. They get their second star. And then he follows that up a month and a half later, or 2 months later, after winning the Scudetto with Inter, which they probably will be favored to do again this season and get number 21 in the bag, he wins the Copa America and scores in the final. Good stories happen to good people, and he's just one of those good stories. You give me a lot of shit for all the hate that I have for these clubs, and it's European upbringing, man. If you're not with us, you're against us. That's just how it is, you know. But Inter, I've always been an Inter supporter since 1990, man. I've been supporting Inter thanks to Lothar Matthäus and the German national team players that were playing for Inter. I just gravitated towards them. Always been my Italian club. I love the Nerazzurri. I rock the black and the blue all the time. And I'm a huge, very, very unpopular topic is Icardi. You know, a lot of Inter fan shit on him. I love him. I love Mauro. I really do. I think Wando was a piece of shit. I think that he was a young guy that got involved, got his wife to be his manager, which I don't think you should mix family with business.
Yeah.
But he did. But he's, for all accounts, he's a family man. He loves his kids. And I think that he was kind of that handing the baton over to Lautaro. He was an Argentine striker that was deadly, and now Lautaro is that same kind of deadly. But I think he's even surpassed Mauro Icardi in terms of skill, in terms of talent, in terms of ability, and in terms of trophies.
Yeah, Lautaro had a really bad outing in the last World Cup. He missed a lot of sitters, and he was – a lot of people were talking a lot of trash, man, and he didn't take it. He took it on the chin, and he really worked on his game, changed a lot. He was still good at the time for club, but for whatever reason in the last World Cup, it just was bad, and now that has changed, and he has reached that pinnacle on both Flags International and for club, and he's just completely changed, man. He's absolutely goated. I love the guy. He's always been someone I've loved watching. I felt so bad for him when he was in the news for all the sitters he was missing, and now that has changed, and people have forgotten about it. I mean, they ended up winning the damn World Cup anyways. It was just that Saudi Arabia loss, and there was another match where he missed a few that people really frowned on it. But it's already forgotten because he's surpassed those bad misses with all these good goals, and he's shown that he is the great player that he was always supposed to be.
Yes. Well, anything else you want to – I mean, are you surprised by the outcome? Did you think that Colombia was going to be able to pull it off? I know you and I both picked them, so I will say – with having asked you that question, I kind of answered it myself because you did think that. I thought it. You thought it. We both had them winning. And it's honestly because you and I, we weren't very impressed by Argentina's recent form. But, you know, you don't always have to look sexy to get wins. You know, sometimes you can there's wins come in all different forms. Ugly ones, fat ones, hot ones, ones you want to, you know, take to prom. There's all sorts of different kind of wins. And you know, unfortunately, Argentina just – didn't like we talk about the hunger factor. You know, when you win the World Cup, there's that hunger goes away. It's human. That's a human thing. We're not machines. You know, we can't program code into our brains like a video game or a software program. We're not. So Lautaro gets his World Cup. Messi gets his World Cup. Icardi gets his World Cup. All these guys get their World Cup and they're like, okay, well, we did it. So what's next? Yeah. And so you follow that with the Copa. It's like, well, Colombia hasn't, you know, like they want some trophies. So I thought they had more of a burning desire to win. I thought that it was Colombia had more to gain from it. And I was a little bit surprised, honestly, at the outcome. But what did you think? I mean, where do you think Colombia went wrong? Because we both picked them to win. What do you think happened to them in that final where they just weren't able to get anything going?
Yeah, I watched the second half when I woke up, and they just couldn't finish their chances, man. If they could have finished at least one of those, it could have ended at the 90, man. It really could have, because Argentina were not going to score. I mean, it took Colombia getting tired, having tired legs, and 110th minute for Lautaro to get behind that back line. And that took 110 minutes. So if they could have snuck one of those chances in the second half, it would have been completely different. But they just couldn't finish, man. Diaz and the boys, James Rodriguez, they could not capitalize on any. They had, I think, two chances that it really looked like they could have scored, and it just didn't happen. They even had a penalty call at the end of regulation time, and the ref VAR didn't call it. So it wasn't enough, man. The burning fire for them just wasn't burning hot enough, and Argentina's burnt a little hotter. And they got it. I think it all boils down to just chances, man. They couldn't finish their chances, and Argentina did.
Right. So what are we thinking now for the Colombian national team, national team? Like, what does the future hold? Do we think this was a stopgap for Colombia? They moved up to ninth in the FIFA rankings. No, do we think that they are a contender now at the 2026 World Cup? Are we going to take them seriously?
I was going to say the new rankings came out and Colombia jumped three spots and Portugal dropped. Spain went up five spots. I mean, there's a bunch of different position changes. Belgium down three. A lot of changes in that FIFA rankings, and I think Colombia deserves it. I think Colombia in the World Cup would be someone you do not want to go against. I mean, the World Cup is going to be massive. It's going to be here in America. A lot of Colombian fans here. We saw it at the game in Charlotte with the fighting and all that.
They
we
will fight it. You. They'll fight you. Yes, they will.
Yes, you do not want to go against them, fans and playing against them. We saw it in Miami with them sneaking through vents in the World Cup. You do not want to go against Colombia. They are going to be in droves. So I think they're in to stay, man. Their team is young, dude. They got players 24, 25. They got players who are young and who are willing to fight and die for their country, as we saw. So, yeah, man, I expect to see them in it. Argentina are number one above France. You know, we're going to definitely be seeing them, even if Messi doesn't play. I think at this point it's almost doing them – I don't want to say it's a favor or doing them really good, but it's not really too much of hurt because they're just switching things around. They're putting in Lautaro. Alvarez is playing, you know, you got these guys who can cover for him. Lo Celso comes on, Jose Mourinho, one of his favorites. And yeah, they're still making it without Messi. So I can see both of them still contending. I mean, World Cup wise, Colombia might not make it in the to, you know, semis or anything like that, but they're definitely going to give you a hard time. So well, I wouldn't want to play them, I know that. I wouldn't want to play them in a playoff game. They're just going to.
Right, for sure. Yeah. And the other thing, I mean, Argentina is number one in the FIFA rankings, deservedly so. So I still expect them to be a team that goes very far in the next World Cup, semifinals at least. Am I shocked if they win, if they get back to the final? No. Am I shocked if they win the final? No. Argentina is a complete team. They get results.
Yeah, the World Cup curse, man. What about the World Cup curse? Do you think that's not going to affect? That doesn't affect Argentina.
Well, technically, it didn't affect France because France made it back to a final this past one, and they were the defending champions. So,
yeah, so
technically,
Germany.
It's broken. No. It was four.
Well,
no, France.
I'm not saying it was just Germany. I'm just saying, the last 10 years, every World Cup, I saw Germany after they won it, they fell out of it.
It would have been.
Spain did it.
Spain did it in 2010, excuse me, 2014. Italy did it in 2010. Germany did it in 2018, and France did it in 2002.
Yeah,
France lost to Zinedine Zidane lost to Senegal.
Yeah,
in the opener.
That's crazy.
And
so France broke that. Yeah, I didn't even think about
that.
Yeah,
France, the dream team of France in 98, that was Trezeguet, Thierry Henry, Zinedine Zidane, just an unbelievable team. They didn't even make it out of the group in 2002. They started the trend of the World Cup curse.
Okay. And then Brazil did not
follow suit in 2006. They did make it to the knockout stage, but they were unsuccessful in defending their title. Then it was a three-year run of defending champions not making it out of the group stage, which ended with France in – how you doing? Which ended with France in
2022
because they made it back to a final. They almost became the first repeat champion since Brazil in 94, when did Brazil win back-to-backs?
God, that's crazy. Winning back-to-backs.
No, they didn't. They won back – oh, never mind. God, I'm – They almost won back. They didn't win back to back. I'm sorry. They won in 94 and they won in 2002. So they missed.
So
no one's ever won. Brazil's won back to back, but you have to go back to the 50s. I think Brazil won in 56 and 60 or something like that. Brazil has won back to back, but it's a long time ago. Germany has come close to winning back-to-backs. Argentina won it in 86 and got to the final in 1990 and lost to Germany on a penalty. So Argentina has come close to winning back-to-back. France has come close to winning back-to-back. But it's few and far. It's a hard thing to do, man. It's really hard.
Yeah, dude. That's
because you've got 4 years. It's not like you get to come back and you feel that anger in your stomach. Like where you're like, okay, next season we're going to get this. there's no redemption story for you for 4 years, whether you want it to be or not. It's just, yeah. You have to wait. You have to be patient. You have to hope that people age well. You have to hope they don't sustain injuries. You have to hope that the manager doesn't get sacked for, you know, just because he's been there, quote unquote, too long. It's national team football because you only play 12 games a season. And, you know, you might switch clubs three times in that same amount of time.
Yeah,
it's a very hard, but the thing is you're playing 40, 50, 60 matches for your club. This is a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
With international football, man, like it's your teammates can change the whole, half the team could change on the back of the shirts from one World Cup to another. That's the Germany's experienced that from 2014 to 2018. If you look at that team in that same time, Schweinsteiger retired, Philipp Lahm retired. Like you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like those are two cornerstones of the 2014. It does change everything. So it's just, you know, it's hard to say who's going to be what. I mean, you would expect France to still be very good in 2026. Like Mbappe is still going to be pretty young. I mean, he still will be pretty young. You're going to still have, you know, I don't know if N'Golo Kanté is still going to, he might still be Upamecano. You're going to have, who else is going to be there? Griezmann should be gone by that point. Definitely, our boy who's going to go play for LA. What's his name?
Dembele will be there. Yeah, Giroud's done.
Giroud's going to be gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, it's a challenge. Real quick, man, want to wrap up international stuff. We have two former Arsenal legends battling it out for the United States men's national team job. We asked for a foreigner. It looks like you ask and you shall receive. Patrick Vieira and Thierry Henry. Now, here's the thing. Neither one of them have done very well at the club level as a manager. That's the only problem.
Yeah.
Thierry Henry was absolutely atrocious at Monaco. And Stu Holden.
And Montreal. Yeah.
Yes, and Montreal. Stu Holden has already said that Vieira in talks to replace Berhalter, United States men's national team, is a disaster. The ex-Arsenal star left Strasbourg this week, and his record as a coach is simply, quote-unquote, not good enough.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Nick?
He was at Crystal Palace, I think, Vieira was, at one point.
As the manager?
Yes, and it was not good. He was
because they brought in their old geezer.
They
brought in Hodgson again, and he's the guy that got him through this season. Yeah.
Yes, but Vieira, they gave him a shot, and it was not good. His tall ass. He'd always wear those fucking pants, and he'd keep his hands in his pockets. That's when I think of Vieira. That's the first thing that pops in my head is that image of him frowning on the sideline because he was just so terrible. I mean, it is Crystal Palace. Like, sure, you're not going to expect much, but, you know, with that talented side they had, dude, if you think about it, Crystal Palace had a hell of talent. I mean, you're talking about the guy just got sold to Bayern Munich. You had Wilfried Zaha when he was there. I mean, there was so much talent, and he just couldn't do anything, and they fired his ass faster than you could blink.
Yeah, so that Are you high on either one of these two? Thierry Henry obviously is a probably Thierry Henry's probably top 25 all time footballer that's ever lived on the pitch. Yeah. But man, both of them are French. Both of them are Arsenal legends.
Yeah.
But man, they just on the touchline, they have just not. No, I think Thierry Henry is exactly where he needs to be. I love his commentary on CBS and Paramount Plus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you're going to drag him out of the booth onto the touchline for the United States men's national team. This has to be the hire, Nick. We talked about this. There is no fucking this up. This is the guy who's going to take you into the 2026 World Cup.
Yeah, this has to be right. And if those two guys, I don't think it's a good idea for either of them, so I'm hoping that doesn't happen. I mean, I would rather get the French guy from Columbus than any of those two, because at least he'll tactically do something. I mean, you're hiring Thierry Henry and Vieira off a name alone just because you want a big name to be the coach. That's not the manager. That's not what you want to do, man. You just you don't want to do that. So I would be very upset. I've kind of, man, I just lose hope every day we go forward, man. I'm just thankful that they are playing in LA and we don't have to suffer and see them in Atlanta, because I would like to go to a game, maybe two, and thank God it doesn't have to be one of them. I would rather watch Korea versus Senegal than watch the United States versus whoever the hell they have to play in their group. Like, I don't want to see United States. I don't think they're going to get it together. And I don't know if it really matters who they hire, but I've lost hope, man. What they did with Greg that second time just turned me off to the whole team. And it's going to be hard, man. We're going to have a lot of heartbreak.
Yeah. So you would leave both of these guys.
Big time. Just hire someone who can actually win something. Get the guy from Columbus. He actually almost won the Champions League in the North America. He just couldn't beat Pachuca with Rondon. I mean, Pachuca is an all-star side for Mexico. They got killed. I think it was 5-3.
Right.
But he at least got them there, man. And he was the only American side to make the final since LAFC. So I would get him, man. I'd get the guy from Columbus, but they won't. They'll make the big name, and they'll be chasing their tail for 3 years.
Man, that sucks to hear, because this is the time the United States is going to have the spotlight on them like never before. Even 94 won't compare, because football is so much bigger now than it was then, especially in this country. Even though you do still have the egg ballers that are going around saying, yeah, soccer sucks. Yeah. I mean, you see it. You're like, they don't score nothing. They don't. It ain't football. Yeah. It ain't football. So it sucks. Go Bulldogs. Roof, roof, roof.
Yep.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, that's all you hear.
That's all you hear. Especially down in these parts where we live, man. We live in the inbred capital of the world down here. But, anyways, it's still, despite the necks and the inbreds and all that down here in the South trying to kill our beautiful game, they can't, they won't, and they never will. It's grown exponentially since 1994. And, yeah, I know our little brothers to the South and North are going to be co-hosts in I did my little rabbit ears there in air quotes. United States of America is going to be, we are the media capital of the world. We are where the lights and are shining the brightest. So the tournament is really, it's more seen like, okay, America's going to get the final. Like, this is, it's our tournament, right?
Yeah. 100%.
And it would just be it's an absolute travesty, and it could happen, man. That's the thing. You and I have said that this is a very realistic possibility, that like South Africa before us, and you know, the host that, you know, just don't make it out of the group stage. That hurts that tournament so badly, because the home supporters are done before it even starts. Cause it doesn't start until the knockout stage, man. That's where, you know, no draws, like, you must win. It's win or go home.
Yeah.
And it would just be a travesty for the United States. And especially when I do see that this team has talent, you know, Dest, we talked about Dest, Pulisic, Reyna, Timothy Vea.
Yeah.
McKennie.
Yeah. The talent's there.
Yeah. It's there. And it's just, oh, we got a red card against Panama. If it hadn't been for that, I don't want to hear the excuses, man. I'm so sick of the excuses. If and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. I don't like Alexi Lalas, but when he called him out, I heard him call them out. Like, this is, you know, do something. He's like the thing with the stick in that meme. It's like, do something, you know, like poking it.
Yeah.
I agree with Alexi Lalas. You know, like, it's time to stop talking. That's all they ever do is talk. And I was like, I thought Nick and I were the only ones that were like, oh, it's just talk, talk, talk. But no, finally Alexi Lalas stood up and said, look, all you guys do is talk. You don't execute anything. It's just words. Actions speak louder than words, bro. Go win a fucking match on the pitch.
Yeah. And they can't do it.
No. No.
Yeah.
So I can't stress enough, and I know I speak for you as well, you can't stress enough how important this hire is.
Yeah.
It's monumental.
Yes, the biggest in a long, long time.
Yes. And we're going to probably hire Bruce Arena.
Yeah. Bring him back.
Bring Bruce back. Bring Bruce. Yeah. Anyways, hey, let's talk some transfers real quick. Let's start with the Premier League. Some of the ones that I like, obviously, Borussia Dortmund too cheap to secure Ian Motson, so he goes from Chelsea to Aston Villa, $44.5 million. God, that's a good pickup for Aston Villa, man. They're going to need it. Champions League for the first time since the 1980s. Aston Villa is not going to be like Stuttgart and Bologna, our friends in Italy. They are saying, no, sir, we are not going to be like Union Berlin. We're going to fight. We're going to fight for top four again. We're going to fight for the Champions League. We're going to do it, you know? So what do we think about that one? I think that's a brilliant signing. Young Dutch player, lots of pace, just a fantastic young up-and-coming defender. I think he's going to bring a lot to the table for Aston Villa.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Villa need to do something, man. They've got to. You're going to be in a competition you haven't been in a very long time, and they have got to make some noise and get some people in because the end of the season wasn't that good for them.
Right.
We both know that, and they added a couple names already, and I'm happy for him, man. You know, I like Dracula. I like to see what he's doing. He completely changed that team around from what Stevie G was doing, and it's just good to see them make the moves. That's a great pickup. I think it was, what, 30 mil?
Yeah. No, well, who? Motson?
Yeah, how much 40, was it?
44 and a half.
44, yeah. That I knew it was one of them. That's not bad at all, man, especially in today's market for what he can do. I think that is a game changer, and Aston Villa – are a team that need it. They still probably need one or two more moves to kind of solidify things, because if you remember, their D was terrible. I mean, they were letting in goals left and right. So, yeah man, great move. I was happy to see that. Definitely a smile on my face.
Well, so going up the Aston Villa did sell Kellyman, their midfielder, to Chelsea for $22.5 million. So I don't know if that's going to be kind of an investment, maybe a prospect thing for Chelsea, because they're pretty stacked in midfield. They just bought Casado last year for 115, and then they still have the kid, I always forget his name, from that they bought from Southampton that barely even played last year. Also another Liverpool target, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was hurt. Yeah.
So that's an interesting pickup. We have $38.8 million. Yakuba Minta, he went from Newcastle to Brighton. So Brighton doing a little bit of shopping here. What do we know about this guy?
I mean, Brighton,
I don't remember too much about Minte. Yeah, I don't remember too much about him.
Me neither. I mean, he's only 19 and he's Gambia. He was one of the players that played in the under 20 World Cup and took Gambia to like the semifinal. And he was big on that international stage. And then he was picked up. He was at Feyenoord first and then Newcastle. And then he went to Brighton. But he was doing really well for Feyenoord. You know, a brace against Ajax and assist here against Go Ahead Eagles and a goal against NEC. So he was doing good for Feyenoord. It's funny, man. I remember him in that World Cup, man. That I know a lot of people don't watch the kids stuff, but he did such a good job in that World Cup for Gambia. He went to Feyenoord and did so good. And they got rid of him. So, cause he was Newcastle. So Newcastle bought him from Odense, which is a Denmark side. And then Newcastle loaned him out to Feyenoord. And that's where he shined with Ernie Slot.
Yeah, correct. Yes.
Yes, and then Newcastle said, "Screw this! You can have him, $42 million." And Brighton actually bought him. God, that's a lot of money for Brighton.
Lewis Hall, defender from Chelsea, they sold him to Newcastle for $32.5 million. So that's kind of a thing where Chelsea just doesn't have enough room.
Yeah,
almost like how they bought Cole Palmer. City didn't have enough room for Cole Palmer. Chelsea went out and got him. He becomes a superstar. Well, Lewis Hall, defender for Chelsea. Newcastle obviously see something in him and bought him for over $30 million. So, I mean, it's not a massive transfer, but it's also not cheap. So that one could be one to look out for.
It's funny. They sold Lewis Hall, and guess how much they bought Kieran Dewsbury for from Leicester? The same amount, 35.4. So it was literally 0.1 mil off. They literally sold Lewis Hall and bought – Dewsbury, which is, you know, a little bit older. He's a little bit more proven for Leicester City, and they sold him to Chelsea.
So yeah, Kiernan Dewsbury Hall switched from Leicester City to Chelsea for 35.5 million. Yep.
Same amount. Yep. Used that money to just replace him, and the old manager for Leicester got one of his boys on his side. So that's a pretty cool thing to see. They just were basically swapping the money, you know?
Yeah, big one here. This attacker. So Everton shopping 18 million. They got this. They got Illiman Ndiaye from Olympique Marseille. That one always exciting to see French prospects come up to the Premier League, because it's, you know, you don't know who's going to be the next Thierry Henry, for example. You don't know, but sometimes, you know, with, like, in the case of his name just escaped. Well, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang did okay for Arsenal, but his boy, what's his name? Came up from Monaco. Now I can't think of his name. He's back at Monaco now. Play for Arsenal.
Who?
They bought him for bukus of money back in 2016, 2017.
Arsenal.
Yeah, I can't think of his name right now.
Are you thinking of Lacazette?
Yes, thank you. Yes, Lacazette. Yes.
That Lyon. Yeah.
Yeah, he came over from France, moved to England. Yes. And it didn't go so well for him. So
yes, now he's back at Lyon.
Yes, he's back at Lyon. Sorry, I said Monaco. He's back at Lyon. Yes, he started at Monaco.
Yeah,
was he at Lyon originally, or am I dreaming that he was at Monaco?
No, he was originally at Lyon. And then he went back to the Arsenal, and then they said fuck this and gave him.
Yeah, he was never at Monaco. Yeah,
no.
Okay, I was imagining that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, Monaco and Lyon, same thing.
They blend. So David Raya, official. It's now official from Brentford to Arsenal on a full-time deal, 39.1 million. So I thought Raya was fantastic. I thought he was better than Ramsdale, and he got the spot at the end of the second half of the season. And yeah, they rode him all the way to the final match day where they were in contention for the title. I think a lot of him. He's a great young Spanish keeper, and I think he's gonna. That was a very good transfer for Arsenal to go ahead and finalize that, make it a full-time deal.
Yeah. Yeah. They had the loan with an option to buy, and there was no way they weren't going to pay that money. For
Max Kilman, Max Kilman from Wolves to West Ham, 47.5 million. That's one of the biggest transfers so far. What do we think about that? I mean, West Ham, now you talk about a team that was leaking goals at the end of last season with David Moyes. Yeah. My God, West Ham United. What did they lose, like 8 in a row at one point?
Yeah, I mean, West
Jesus
Ham.
Christ, they were terrible.
Yeah, they need all the help they can get, man. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be enough, but it's definitely a step in the positive direction. For sure.
Chelsea got a little investment project here. Renato Vega from FC Basel. They bought him for 14 million. And Ipswich got a guy also that was a Manchester City attacker, Liam Delap. He's an investment prospect for them. Obviously, to get in the senior side, our senior squad for Manchester City would take an act of God. So you have to sell these players or they get upset. You know, this is how Jadon Sancho went to Dortmund originally. He was a City player. There's no room for him. You talked about this with Cole Palmer, and we talked about it with Phil Foden. Phil Foden was the only one of them that made it to the senior squad. So, you know, there's a plethora of talent at Manchester City, but, you know, like we said, there's only 23 spots.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in theory, 23 spots for your senior squad. So you got to, you know, if you want to play, you got to go somewhere else. So this would be interesting to watch. Ipswich got him for just under 18 million. So he's an English player. He's an attacker from England. There's a premium on those, as we all know.
Yeah. Yeah. You only got so much space, man. And these guys, they want to play. Well, some of them. I mean, you could be like Jack Grealish and play 5 minutes every now and then, you know, celebrate like you did something, or you could fight and ask to be transferred and get some time to start, man. These guys want to play, most of them.
Well, let's talk about this last big one, which was Bologna to Manchester United. Joshua Zirkzee, who you and I have had our eye on him since he did some pretty good stuff for Bayern Munich back in the Champions League back in 2020 or 2021, I think it was. This was, you know, 4 years ago. He was just a baby, and he did good youth.
Yeah,
yeah. They let him walk, and he goes to Bologna, helps them. He's part of that side that just helped them get back to Champions League, or first time ever. First time ever in the Champions League, I should say. And now he's going to go to United. So, well, Nick, where have we seen this before where United goes and gets these players and they, you know, at the one hand, I know we can't criticize them too much because they do need to get rid of some of these players that have been generational holdovers from Van Gaal and from the gym coach and from Mourinho. But at the same time, you just wonder, you know, they haven't really hit on a lot of transfers in the past 10 years. Like, where does, you know, Xerxes is one of those guys that I want to see him do well. I followed him now for 5 years, and I just felt of all the clubs to go to, this is probably the one that's the least where I'd want to see him go.
Yeah. I mean, we both don't favor that club too much, man. It's just, it's a place where players go to die off, man. I mean, we've seen it so many times with so many players that they just go there and then no one meets those expectations. And then they end up just leaving and going somewhere and being forgotten about, or they end up in controversy, beating up their girlfriends, or what the hell else happens at United. I mean, two of their biggest stars were in domestic abuse cases, let alone doing anything on the pitch. I mean, Mason Greenwood and Antony both have issues, domestic issues, and they were both worth or bought for over $80 million. Greenwood, I think, was an academy guy, but he was valued at over $60-80 million before he got in all that controversy. And now he's being sold for pennies because no one wants him. They don't want to deal with the whole backlash of getting a player who beat up his the mother of his child. So yeah man, it's a tricky one, cause I don't really favor United too much, but Xerxes is someone I even watched at the Bayern Munich amateur side before he was even put on the big boy team. And he was always scoring a ton of goals, man. It's just crazy that Brian Zaragoza and Xerxes and all these young guys that Bayern Munich get their hands on as a kid, and they end up scoring a ton of goals, and Bayern gets rid of them and gets Harry Kane, who's allergic to trophies. So help me understand that. Hopefully Xerxes does good, man. I don't know where he's going to – he should start over the Danish guy, Rasmus Højlund, and hopefully he does well, man, in my own way. I hope he does well, but I hope United don't win, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I wish the guy well, you know. I don't want him to do bad because I like him as a player, but I don't want to see him take United to a Champions League semi or a final or something, you know?
No, I understand that, but yeah, you want for him, because he's such a talented player and
yes,
has such a good attitude. You do want to see him do well, but not for the shirt he's wearing.
Absolutely.
Dortmund and Bayern are making the noise in the Bundesliga right now. Nick, it's basically Dortmund is raiding Stuttgart. They got their best defender in Valdemar Antone, and they also followed that up with, for $18 million, they got the player with a better conversion percentage than Harry Kane, almost 30 goals last season, Serge Gyarassi. What a steal for Borussia Dortmund. And they got Valdemar Antone for only 22.5. So for $40 million, Nick, Dortmund just bought the two players that were probably the most responsible for Stuttgart's second place finish last season.
Yeah,
your thoughts on that?
We knew Gyarassi was going. We just didn't know exactly where. So we knew that was coming. His release clause was only $17 million. Like, a bunch of idiots. They let that go. So they deserved all that. And then selling the 28 or 25 year old defender was just absolute travesty. I mean, sadly, dude, it's going to be Bologna and Stuttgart who are probably just going to be complete garbage in the group stage of Champions League, man, or however the format's going. It's going to be hard for them to compete when you sell these key guys that get you to these places. We talk about it every single year, man, every year.
So Eric Dier, he's now with Bayern officially on a free. So the loan is complete with Spurs, and they decided to let him walk. So he is now officially a Bayern Munich player. Now, here's the interesting one. So they got Olise from Crystal Palace, and you and I both said, you know, whoever gets him it's gonna be great because he's a good player. Didn't expect Bayern to do it, but they initiated the release calls. But here's the interesting one, Nick. This is the big one. We talked all this European Championship about, and at the end of last season, specifically the Real Madrid Champions League semifinal with Bayern Munich, about how Manuel Neuer is just basically cooked, right? Well, yeah. They went out and they got themselves a keeper. They spent $51 million on João Paulinho from Fulham to go to Bayern Munich. You can't spend – so that's the end of Manuel Neuer, right? Got to be.
Yeah, it's done, yeah.
Got to be, because you can't – you're not going to spend $50 million on a keeper to sit him and put him on a bench behind Manuel Neuer. This is
– no.
The ego – Manuel Neuer has been cooked for a long time now, but this is – I mean, we've – this – we need no more evidence, especially – let's be honest. Bayern should have beat Real Madrid in the Champions League. They should have.
Yeah.
And that Neuer mistake was just absolutely catastrophic.
Yes. 100%. I agree. Yes. This keeper should be starting and Neuer will be on the bench for support. And he should do like Helmut did it and be that coach, be that leader on the bench. And when they need him to come in, if an injury happens or for a cup, for Diaz Pokal or something, then he can play. But Manuel Neuer needs to set his ego aside and really, like, just teach this guy. Just be there for him and let someone else play, because Neuer is absolutely finished.
Yeah, there's a lot of other, I've noticed this other thing too, which is a very interesting thing. There's a trend of going on. Schalke is selling all their players, and they barely hung on last year for dear life in the second tier. This could be nasty. So they sold their best player with Drago to Leipzig for $10 million. They sold Marius Müller, who was their keeper. They sold him for $2 million. I mean, they're getting pennies for these players. Yeah. But if you're selling these players, and, like, they obviously, like, you're needing this to survive. I think Schalke is a massive club, and we're bringing them up because they're not in the first Bundesliga, but basically they – if they barely stayed up last season, you're selling off all the remaining talent that you had.
Yeah.
What does this say? Because I'm seeing all these Schalke players signing for these Bundesliga clubs now. But the big one was with Drago, and then Marius Müller is another one. And what's his name? Here he is right here. Yeah, Kiki Topp. Kiki Topp was one of their attackers. He went to Werder Bremen for a whopping $2
million. Yeah. I mean, they've got to, I guess, hope the academy and the young kids coming can do something, because it's going to be nasty, man. I mean, they almost, at the beginning of the season, remember, they were in relegation. Like, they were at the bottom, dude. They were looking terrible, and they did turn it around. But, bro, it could be really nasty, man. It could be really bad. And you're going to see one of the biggest clubs in Germany just absolutely fight for their lives. And it's something we both don't want to see, because we both like the history and what Schalke was.
That's a really good way to put it. You said fight for their lives. And that's honestly, I mean,
that's it.
That's what it's come to. It's so sad. It's so sad because 6 years ago they were runners up in the Bundesliga. They finished second only to Bayern, and now they're fighting for their very existence.
Yep. It's crazy, man. How these teams get in this situation is just so bad.
Yeah, not a lot going on right now in La Liga. You have just a few double-digit transfers, like Willie Kambwala. He transferred from Man United to Villarreal. Then you have $12 million. Rafa Marin, he went from Real Madrid to Napoli. Again, this is a guy who Rafa Marin's not going to get any playing time at Real Madrid. They are stacked and loaded, very much like City are at every position. So Napoli, of course, you know, for $12 million, you get a player that's come up through the Real Madrid youth system, and that may be an investment. That's one of those players that could go from $12 million into, you know, a 40, 50, 60 million player if he develops correctly.
Yeah,
but not a lot of movement here so far in La Liga.
No, man, we're still a little early, man. I mean, we'll be talking about, I think, I don't know when the deadline is, what, first week of August or something, or first, it's some, maybe the 17th or something like that. We have a lot of time, But it's been talked about online, man. It's been a really quiet transfer market so far, man. I mean, there's been a few here or there, but man, we're really scraping by on these transfers. There's going to be, by the time we talk next week, there's going to be a couple more names, but it's going to be like a slow thing. I think the Euros and Copa America, and we didn't mention this, but the Olympics football starts Wednesday.
Yeah.
And you have players playing in that also that played in Euros and Copa. Spain is there. Argentina, there's some guys still playing on these teams that could possibly be moving, and they're all waiting for this to all finish up. So we're still looking at a couple weeks, man, of some slow time, you know?
There's a couple of ones that are worth mentioning in Serie A. Like, for instance, the only team to beat Inter Milan in the league last year was relegation side Sassuolo. So, hey, if you can't beat them, join them. I guess that's what Inter's mindset was. They got David Fratesi from Sassuolo for $29 million, picked up the midfielder. That's a really good purchase, and I feel like that's a bargain deal for him. Fratesi was one of the very few shining spots for Sassuolo last season. Then, of course, they got Peter Zielinski from Napoli on a free. You know, he's not obviously the best years are by, but, you know, look for depth, man, for depth and for squad depth and stuff like that. That's a great pickup. Yeah. And another one, this one is so Ketelaere, the midfielder out of Belgium, AC Milan, he transferred out to Atalanta for $22 million. Atalanta has to build some depth because, as we know, they won the Europa League, which means that they qualified for the Champions League. So Atalanta's going to be playing with the big boys. They got to load up. Vitinha, so Marseille made two big sales. Marseille made a sale, Guendouzi, who's a midfielder, he went to Lazio for $13 million. And then also they sold Vitinha, their young attacker. He's transferring to Genoa for $16 million. So I don't know. That's two pretty big losses there for Marseille. But those are some of the bigger transfers right now in Serie A. Obviously, $50 million. Douglas Luiz switched from Aston Villa to Juventus. That was the big one. So we have that, and that's honestly, that's probably the biggest one so far in terms of like money spent. But just looking here, yeah, Nice, Juventus got another player from Nice, Turam, Kefren Turam. We know him. He's actually really good. I like him. He's a midfielder, played in that side that had one of the best defenses in Europe through first half of the season last year. Kind of went to crap at the end, but really good pickup for Juventus, $20.6 million. They get him from Nice. Then you have Buongiorno from Torino to Napoli for $35 million. Napoli desperately, desperately needing some assistance as they were one of the worst title defenses in recent European Big Five history. I mean, they just completely fell off from first place to God out of sight, you know, just a blip on the radar. So that one, that's another one. Pepe Reina from Villarreal. I mean, he is the ageless wonder. This guy's like, what, 62 years old now? And guess who he's playing for, Nick? Your boys from Como on a free transfer.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, I mean, they need all they can get. It's hard going up from Serie B to Serie A. I mean, it's just difficult. Those big juggernauts will knock you around unless you're the Sassuolo side. But it's just difficult, man. You got to spend money. I don't care what anyone says. You got to. And at least they made that move.
Yeah, I mean, the other one is Moise Keane. From Juventus to Fiorentina for $13 million. And I would say, like, for that amount, like $13 million, Moise Keane is in and of itself is such an interesting thing because he's an Everton guy, right? Yeah. And then Juventus. And it's like his name was always like relevant because he played for Juventus, but it's kind of like Weston McKennie. It's like, but are you. You wear the white and black striped shirt, but are you what do you really do for them? And I feel like those are two, like Moise Keane on the British side of things, in terms of like where he came from, Everton, and then Weston McKennie from Germany, obviously started at Schalke, then he goes to Juventus. They just neither one of them, like they came in with, there's a lot of hype around them 4 or 5 years ago. And then, I mean, Weston McKennie looks like he got on the Duck Donuts diet and, you know, put on some not so great weight for football.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, what do you think about this? Keane is now, okay, so this is now it's Juventus to Fiorentina, which, hey, Fiorentina is a good side. I mean, you know, they usually play in Europe. If it's you know, not Europa League, and it's the Conference League. So it's not a complete, it's not like Moise Keane's going to fade into obscurity in terms of where he's playing. But I mean, he's just one of those players that, like, just, he just can't get quite above that line. You know, that mythical line, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he'll just always be playing at a mid-tier side, man. He can't cut it at a big side, so it's perfect for him. He can play in the Conference League and maybe win a trophy, European trophy at the Conference League. They've won, they won it. They lost the first year to Jose, and then they won it last year, the Conference League. They made it two finals in a row. That fits him perfectly. He's not a guy who's going to play for Real Madrid or Bayern Munich or Chelsea or Liverpool. He'll always play for the Everton, the Crystal Palace, the Bournemouth, the Marseille, the Fiorentina. He'll never be a big tier guy. He just can't do it. And that move suits him perfectly. He'll never eclipse that mark that he needs to be a big time player.
Alex Jimenez, Real Madrid young defender. He switches to AC Milan for $4.5 million. I think it's a really good pickup. Again, it's one of these things where you come through the AC Milan through the Real Madrid pipeline. They don't have it. This is honestly this is a very, slap me if I'm being wrong here, but this is almost like transfer portal stuff in college football, because it's like, you're a really great player, but say like you play for Alabama or you play for Georgia, and like, look, dude, you know, we only got so many roster spots. Yeah. And you're like, well, I'm going to go to South Carolina, or I'm going to go to Kentucky, and I'm going to start, and I'm going to be a star.
Yeah.
It's almost nothing like that, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this stuff right now is just, that's exactly it, man. Guys are swapping spots, trying to get on a team that they can play some. They're knocking down going down the pole a little bit to a lower, kind of like a lower grade team or club, we'll say, where they can actually get some time. And if they do well, then maybe they'll get another look at and make some more money. But it's exactly it, man. This is all transfer portal shit. This is all, I can't cut it at Milan, so I'm going to go to Fiorentina. I can't cut it at Everton, I'm going to play a little bit at Marseille. You know, it's what happens, man. And sometimes it works, and sometimes you forget who the hell they are.
Well, that's kind of, yeah, that's very true. And I want to say that kind of wraps it up for the ones that we know for a fact that are happening, that are signed, sealed, and delivered. There's a lot of rumors out there, and we're just not going to go through all the rumors, because most of them are bullshit in and of themselves. But I would highly suggest that certain sides, you know, Dortmund's done some business, Bayern's done some business, United is starting to crank it up. Chelsea's going to do something. Arsenal just got one of their big targets today, as you announced at the beginning of the program. You know, Real Madrid and City are set, really don't have to do very much on that end. But if you're, you know, Liverpool, if you're Spurs, if you are, let's see, some of the other sides in Germany. I mean, Stuttgart have got a lot of outgoing players, but nothing coming in. You know, you're going to be playing Champions League next year, buddies. I mean, you might want to start doing something, you know, poke the stick, you know, do something. And there's many more. I mean, I'm not even mentioning, like, you know, we talked about, you know, Inter's done some business, Juve's done some business, Napoli now on the board, AC Milan's getting some reinforcements. So Italy's kind of, but it's like the Premier League's just waiting.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but if you're Everton and you're trying to, you know, build off of last season, that was, you know, I know the points deduction that made their finish look a lot uglier, but Everton actually did have a nice bounce back last year in terms of like actual matches won, not points deducted by UEFA, but actually, like, you know, Everton was facing relegation there a few years in a row. They were up and coming, man. I thought that they were starting to, they were playing well. They were starting to really do. I mean, they beat Liverpool in the Merseyside Derby at the end of the season. I mean, look, you know, you gotta call it what it is, but you got to build on that. You know, you got to build on that. And then you got to
get some players. You do. You really have to.
Yeah. There's the case like RB Leipzig. They just obviously got the best player from Schalke. They bought him for $10 million, which could be a steal in the end. But, you know, typically we see Leipzig they do usually make a splash transfer. And we haven't seen that this year. Again, we're still in July. But as you said before, some of these leagues are starting to kick back up again. England, the Premier League is less than a month away. So that's August the 17th, I believe, is kickoff. You know, today's July the 20th. So got about 4 weeks. And you and I talked about this yesterday. You and I talked on the phone about this. It is so, we talked about the case of Oxlade-Chamberlain. It's so beneficial to get players in and do business early. And I know with the European Championship and with the Copa America, you know, that was an impossibility this year. And the Olympics are even making it double down hard. But if you can get the players in, get them to go on these international friendly events like Liverpool and Man United are coming here. And a lot of the Premier League teams come to America. A lot of times they go to Asia. They do these preseason tournaments where they get to try out their new toys and test out new tactics and see where these players fit in. You know, Oxlade-Chamberlain's one of those big what ifs for me because I thought he was a supremely talented player from Arsenal, but they had made their mind up that they didn't want to do anything with him. Liverpool wanted him. Jurgen Klopp wanted him well before deadline day, but they played around, they fucked around, and they ended up getting him. And by that point, you're already so behind the curve. I mean, Liverpool's already played 3 or 4 matches in the league, and you just got signed. So yeah. You're in zero capability or there's no, you don't know the philosophy at all. You're basically learning the playbook from scratch. So you're talking Christmas before you even get acclimated, you know? Yeah. So that's my point is like, I think some of these sides really need to start open up the damn checkbook a little bit, you know?
Yeah, no, that's like I said, in the football world on YouTube, man, all the guys I'm listening to, that's the big thing is y'all better get moving. Let's get a move on because the season's right around the corner and no one's really making splashes except United. United have signed every single person that they said they've wanted to go and get, Euro and Xerxes. And those two guys are starters. Those guys will be starting. So it's time to get on the move, man. Liverpool, all these Chelsea, I know Chelsea's made a couple moves, but it's time to do exactly what you said. Put that pen on that checkbook and start making some moves because time is going to run out. And if you sign someone a week into the season, just like you said, it'll be Thanksgiving, Christmas before they're even acclimated with the starting lineup or with the team. And then you're already, you know, 2 months, you're a fourth of the season done, and your transfer for 80 million isn't even ready to be playing all these minutes, man. It just doesn't make sense. Get them in beginning of August, get them a month to get used to it, and move forward. I agree with you, man. I think it's stupid waiting the last second.
One big note for French transfers. Well, it's not a transfer. It's just a loan that's come to an end. This player featured prominently for the Dutch national team, scored goals in the European Championship, but Xavi Simons is back at PSG. His loan to RB Leipzig is over. It ended effectively on June 30th, 2024. So he's back. Now, what do you think PSG is going to do? He's an attacking midfielder. We saw him play very well for Leipzig last year. He, like we just said, played very well for the Dutch team. Do they keep him or do they sell him for mega bucks?
No, he's supposed to be going. I think I saw them saying, I mean, I know it's just a rumor, but I'm pretty sure I saw that he was supposed to be sold.
He's worth 80 million euros, according to Transfermarkt.
Yeah, he came out publicly and said he didn't want to play with PSG.
The current rumors right now for him, probability of transfer is 68% to Bayern Munich and 16% to Manchester United. So it looks like it might be Bayern.
Yeah, he came out publicly and said, I do not want to play for PSG. So there's no – I mean, if they keep him, they'll be keeping him just out of spite.
Wow. And Renato Sanchez, once valued at $50 million, is now down to $6.5 million. He has loan also over from Roma. He returns back to PSG. He's one of the big busts from that European Championship in 2016 for that Portugal side.
He's a victim of the hype, all the hype of a youngster.
He's the hype beast.
He's a victim of that, and some of the hype beasts become victims, and some of them become champions like Spain. I mean, it's a hit or miss thing, man. I mean, it's just how it is. And I never really valued the guy as high as everyone else did. I watched him play for Portugal. And then when he went to Bayern and all that, he just wasn't that good. So I think it was just all hype.
It's one of those Bayern Munich bought into the Kool-Aid and they bought him. He had a really good tournament for Portugal. It's a very scary thing to base your purchase, especially when it's double digit millions of euros on a player. And that was that time when Bayern bought Corentin Tolisso, and he got injured. He got really badly injured. So I'm not going to blame him injury is the reason you're a bust, you're not a bust. But yeah. Sanchez just looked like he didn't know what the fuck he was doing.
Yeah, he was lost.
He was lost at Bayern, and they loaned him out. Did he get loaned to Spurs? Am I recalling? It was my mind.
No, he didn't go to Spurs. He ended up doing okay at, I think it was Lille. I think he was part of that championship side when they won the championship. And he also played. He also went somewhere else. I'm gonna look real quick, but he definitely had some success.
Oh, he was at Swansea. That's who I'm thinking about. That's where he played at. Yeah. He was at Swansea.
One season. Yeah. But he did well. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he did play for Lille, and he did okay. I'm looking now. Yeah, he was on the championship side for Lille. So he won the French title for them the one odd year that they took it from PSG. And then he went to PSG, scored a couple goals in 20 matches, and then he was playing for Roma last season, but he got hurt. He only played 7 games, and now he's back
in
PSG.
They loaned him out to Roma for 1 million euros. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he only played 7 games. He got hurt.
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah, he was a hype beast coming out of Benfica. Absolutely.
Yeah, waste of money.
If you saw his Portugal highlights from 2016 – you would say, yeah, Bayern for 35 million, buy him.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to buyer beware, man. You can get absolutely torched by doing that. But, yeah, we got another month and change of this transfer bullshit. So we're going to end it right there because we talked about the ones we had to play catch up. We said we're going to wait till after the tournaments. The tournaments are over, done and dusted. Congrats, Spain. Congrats, Argentina. But we talked about the ones that we know are going to happen. You broke some news on Bologna this morning with their transfer, the big transfer to Arsenal. So Arsenal on the board now. And, you know, Inter. So the funny thing is the transfer from the Iranian guy with Inter, that wasn't even on here, but it's confirmed. He signed. I mean, and also Martinez from why can't I think of who he plays for? English club. Where did Martinez play? Was it Villa?
Who Martinez?
The Argentine.
You talking about, I have no clue. Oh, you talking about the goalkeeper?
Yeah, the keeper.
Yeah, he's at Aston Villa.
Yeah, so he just switched to Inter. He's the new Inter keeper.
Hold on. Hold on. I don't think Aston Villa sold. Hold on. I got it right here. They got, hold on. You said a keeper? Oh, Martinez. No, yeah, he was at Genoa and Leipzig. I'm sorry. Josep Martinez is not Martinez from Argentina. He was Spanish.
Dude, I got so many Martinezes flying at me.
Oh, bro, yeah, no, it's completely understandable.
I just saw that I saw our friends over at Studio Inter posted the photo. Or posted the it's official. They put him in an Inter kit, and they did the whole logo. Welcome to Inter. I mean, when they do that, they are it's ink to paper. It's pen to paper.
Yeah.
And so they I just saw. So God have mercy, man. I have mixed up my Martinez's.
Yeah, they got Genoa's Martinez. Yeah.
Dear Lord, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Leipzig had him. Got rid of him to Genoa, and he did pretty good last season for Genoa. He kept them up and kept them alive, which is a lot when you're Genoa. They actually finished 11th, and they signed him for 13.5 million. So that is their That's their guy behind Yon Sung.
Yes, that's who I was talking about. Emiliano Martinez is the Aston Villa keeper. That's the Argentine keeper.
And he yes, he wouldn't. I don't see Aston. There's no way Aston Villa get rid of him. They'd be a damn fool.
Yeah. He's world class right now.
God. Yeah, dude. Penalty God. You ain't beating him in penalties.
Well, we will. Yeah, this next week we'll have, I'm sure, more to talk about. Now we're in the transfer season. We're going to see a lot more names start to bubble up, and the bubbles will pop, and they will actually be with their new clubs, and not just a bunch of rumors floating around mindlessly in the sky. Because God knows, on Twitter and Instagram, these wannabe pundits will put out whatever the hell they think will get clickbait. And you know, you and I are vehemently against that. So we just don't buy into it. I mean, I saw that Mbappe was transferring to Liverpool today for two bags of Doritos and a piece of stick of gum. So that's an exaggeration, but I've seen so many links to, just because I follow the Liverpool transfer wire pretty closely, and it's just some of the names that are floating. I don't understand whether you're just that delusional or whether you're just literally a troll.
Bro, I swear they just want content, man. And us at Beckham's Basement, we refuse to be a part of it.
Yeah. I'm not doing it until I see you holding the kit in front of the logo, or they put you in a kit with an official club graphic. Then I'll believe
it. It's official. Yeah. Here we go and all that. Then we can speak. But until then, it's nonsense.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, let's turn the lights out here in the basement. And I want to let everybody know. So Nick and I have ordered T-shirts, and we somehow we'll get those. We're going to put the design up on Twitter and Instagram. So if you follow us there, if you don't follow us, follow us. But if you do, you're going to see it there. He and I have got designs out. So we're going to be rocking those for all of our events that we do this upcoming season. When we go to Majorua, when we go to Edmonds, when we go to Paradiso, doing these live match day shows with the supporters clubs here locally in Charleston. But we're going to offer them at some point to purchase. So let us know what you think, how you like the design. And he and I think they look pretty sharp, so we got some good feedback on them, and the designs are finalized and they are in production.
Absolutely. We'll have them out here soon.
Yeah. All right, well, Nick, my friend, it's a pleasure as always, and I will see you long before we record, but I'll see you at the restaurant. But we'll talk to everybody next week. Thanks again for the support. Please leave us a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Beckham's Basement. And
see y'all soon.
The Basement signing off. Everyone, take care. Have a great week. Don't forsake this life of yours. I'll guide you home no matter where you are. One day my father, he told me, son, don't let it slip away. When I was just a kid, I heard him say,